This talk is from the teaching ministry at New Heights Church, Vancouver, Washington, where we seek to bring help, hope, and home to hurting people through Jesus Christ.
That I call the first person in your life, and really it's just to focus on Jesus, his person and his work, who he is and what he's done. And we'll be doing it for a number of weeks together, and I hope to, in a certain sense, just awaken in you, or perhaps reawaken in you, an appreciation, understanding of the person and work of Jesus Christ. In order to do so, I warned you last week that there would be some theology involved, and I know that that just can terrify some people. But the truth of it is, if you've ever had a thought about God, you are a theologian, just right there. So the only question is, will you be a good theologian or a bad theologian? And the way to become a good theologian is to pay careful attention to what God has said. So in the course of this, I will use some theological words, certainly not to impress you, and certainly not to help you impress other people, but to take some of the mystery out of those words and replace them with wonder and love, wonder at what God has done for you and me in Jesus Christ, and just a love response to him as a result of that. So when we come to Jesus, we really focus on Jesus in two arenas. We talk about who Jesus is, and then we also talk about what he has done. Jesus in his person and Jesus in his work. In one person, both a human and a divine nature, utterly human, fully divine, joined together in one person. And then we also talk about his work, what he has done for us. And both of those are significant. If you're here last week, we talked a little bit about the incarnation, that Jesus did the unimaginable, that God himself took humanity to himself so that we could comprehend him and go beyond comprehension to actually connecting with him. But today I want to go a little bit beyond that incarnation, the thought that God is with us, and talk with you a little bit about what God has done for us. And so you might say the first consideration is the discussion of justification. And that's the word I want to talk about today. Justification is really about the idea of how can a person obtain righteousness. It's about the business of being righteous or right. And in a certain sense, you already know that. You know it in your gut. Look, you do something stupid. We've all done that, right? And then you explain why you did the stupid thing, right? Which usually doesn't help at all. But the more you explain, the more stupid it becomes. And finally, someone says, what are you talking about? And the real answer is, you're trying to justify yourself, right? You're trying to explain that the stupid thing you did was really a right and righteous thing. It wasn't, but we all try to justify ourselves. That's the idea of making ourselves righteous. The justification is about being right or righteous. You know it relationally. You've been in conflict with somebody or sensed it or felt it, and you get them on the side and you say, I want to make sure, are we all right? Are we right with one another? We all lined up here. That's what justification is. And so when it comes to God, it's very challenging to justify yourself before God, to make yourself righteous before holy God. And it's even tougher to maintain that you're just all right with him by your own efforts. And so justification is talking about what God has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in order to summarize that for you, I've selected principally just four verses of scripture that I want you to understand. And if I could get you to grab that single sheet that's inside the worship folder that says, Jesus, your righteousness, and then that word justification right beneath it, you'll see Romans 3, verses 21 through 24. And there's an array of ideas here, but they all add up finally to the image of justification. And that's what I want you to know about. Now, here's what I want you to pick up before we go. We're reading the book of Romans. Paul has begun the whole book by saying, listen, everybody needs righteousness and nobody has it. And so he's done quite a job of explaining that no matter your background, you can be very religious like the Jewish people, have all kinds of ritual. You can be utterly non-religious. He gets done by saying, listen, doesn't matter. There is no one righteous, not even one person. So the question is then, how could a righteousness ever be found? That's where we come to in this passage. So let's stand. We'll take a look at it together. Romans 3, verse 21 through 24. There's no one righteous, not even one, he says. But now, here it is, verse 21. But now, a righteousness from God, sourced in God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify, This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Okay, have a seat if you will, please. We'll try to kind of pull it apart. It's a lot of detail there. I want you to see, though, that it all ends up in this, just this one climactic line. At the very end there in verse 24, he says to her, we are justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. So I just want you to see how that justification takes place. I'll try to give you a definition, give you some components that are involved in it, and hopefully, as I say, deepen your understanding and appreciation of what God has done for us in Jesus. So start there in verse 21, but now, see it? All people everywhere are not right before God, but now a righteousness from God, sourced in God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and prophets testify. So if you're here last week, I just stopped and kind of went phrase by phrase. That's what I'd like to do through this whole passage, just to be a little bit more detailed, and also give you a chance to write a note or two. So if you got a pen or pencil, I've got some blanks for you to crank, and it can maybe just help you sort of track what's going on as we talk about it. So first, just a bit of a definition. So start there, letter A. Justification is God's act of granting right standing before Him. It's very important to get that. Justification is God's act. And the act is granting right standing before Him. And you see it here in that very first phrase, but now a righteousness from God, sourced in God, apart from the law. And so sometimes when you talk about what something is, you have to say what it isn't. I want to make sure you get that. Justification is not a process. It's an act merely out of the grace of God. It's not that we are in the process of becoming righteous. You don't want to appear before God and say, well, I'm somewhat righteous, any more than you want to appear before a surgeon who says to you, I'm somewhat sterile, okay? That's not going to work. So you've got to get that. You have to get that one right. So this is not something we could ever do. It's something that God is willing to do on our behalf. So justification is not a process, it's an act. The other thing I would say is justification is not our proud accomplishment. That's why he says it's apart from the law. Whenever you have a law, you begin to look at works. And a sober look at for any one of us at our life, we would have to say, there's some works that I'm not very proud of. So instead, this comes from grace. And whenever you have grace, the call is to faith. And that's what God asks us, to have faith in His Son. The third thing I say is justification is not God giving us a pass. And some people misunderstand that, as if God is saying, it's okay, let's just skip this one. That's not true. God can't do that. It's in His nature to deal righteously with everything. And so in no way is it God giving us a pass. I know what it is to get a pass. I had a judge give me one once, because in my stupid youth, I did a lot of dumb things. But I had this judge say, you know, I'm going to give you a break this time. And I got to tell you, it was wonderful. He let me off. And I got a pass. And it was beautiful. But on the way out, I walked by the arresting officer. And he knew what I knew. And what we knew was that I was as guilty as sin. And it didn't change that reality. I got away, but it was unchanged in terms of my person. And so it's just so important to get it, that God is not just giving us a pass. God places our sin on His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that He sees us as righteous in Him. And that's critical. The last thing I'll say on this is that justification is not a pardon. Although a pardon is a wonderful thing, the problem with a pardon is this. A pardoned criminal is still a criminal. You understand? And so a pardon is a terrific thing. A pardon forgives the crime and it removes the punishment and it prevents additional prosecution. And so it's a wonderful thing, but justification is more wonderful because justification removes the crime. And when you get that, then you get what a great thing God has done for us. There's a great story, Rudyard Kipling, you know him, Jungle Book, Rudyard Kipling. And you know, we think since he writes those kind of stories that he's always living in rustic environments, but he was an affluent guy. And 1932, I don't know why I know the date, but I do, 1932, he's in his Rolls Royce and his Rolls Royce is giving him problems when he's down in the south of France. And he mentions it as he checks into the hotel, he mentions it to the bellman. And then the next morning, he gets up to kind of try to figure out what's going on so he can tell Rolls Royce. But everything is working perfectly because in the middle of the night, the Rolls Royce people traveled all through the night, made it to his Rolls Royce, took the thing apart, fixed everything, put it back together, and it was flawless. So Rudyard Kipling contacts them to find out how much he has to pay them. And they say, "Mr. Kipling, we have no record of a Rolls Royce ever breaking down." That's justification. Listen, it's so good. Listen, the devil may accuse you. Others may accuse you. Worse yet, you may accuse yourself. But you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, and God says, "I'm sorry, but I have no record of any sin against you." That's what justification is. And here's the beautiful thing. It has always been God's plan. If you want to fill in that letter B, just put that down. Justification has always been the plan of God. See that sentence, "But now righteousness from God apart from law," see that next phrase, "has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify." His whole point is all through Scripture, God has offered his people the opportunity to be made right with him. Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Do you get how marvelous that is? Abraham looked forward in faith. God said to him, "Listen, through you, through your offspring, will all the nations of the world be blessed." He didn't know how it was going to work, but he trusted that God was going to provide one who would be a blessing to all the nations. We call him the Christ, the Messiah, Jesus. He did not know all about Jesus, but he looked forward in faith to Jesus. And God credited it to him as righteousness. He was justified. Now, you and I look back in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. We know more about who he is. We know more about what he did, but it's still a function of faith. And when we put our faith in him, it's credited to us as righteousness. And it has always been the plan of God. That's why that great Bible study, Luke 24, Jesus, after his resurrection, meets with the guys who are traveling together on the road to Emmaus. And the Bible says, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he showed them all things that were written concerning him contained therein." That is, it's always been about what God intends to do. It has always been the heart of God to make us right with him. Do you see that? He said, "Wow, why are you so worked up about that?" I'll tell you why. Because it puts the lie to the phony idea of what the Christian faith is about. So many people reject the Christian faith because they reject a caricature, a cartoon image of the Christian faith. Here's the mythical faith that people reject. In the Old Testament, there's God the Father, and he's the grumpy God. He's just ticked off at everything and everybody. Fortunately, in the New Testament, Jesus, the really good God, shows up. And he kind of talks the grumpy God off the ledge. He goes to the grumpy God, the Father, the Old Testament God, and says to him, "Look, if you're going to be ticked, why don't you be ticked at me? And you're going to get mad at somebody, just wail on me. So while this divine child abuse is taking place, you and I sneak into heaven before the grumpy God ever notices, and then it's too late." Let me tell you, that's straight out of hell, that stuff. It has nothing to do with what the Bible declares. Justification by faith through Jesus Christ is the eternal plan of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It was engendered by the Father. It was expressed by the Son, and it is empowered through the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. And all of the God has involved in granting to us righteousness through faith in Jesus alone. And it's so important to get that. Now, if justification is God granting right standing, how do I qualify for that grant? Okay, how do I access that grant? Here it is. Let us see if you want to fill it in. Justification is only accessible through trust in Jesus. Justification is only accessible through trust in Jesus. Two C's, two S's. There you are. Okay. Don't worry how you spell it. What you need to see is that verse. Notice what it says, verse 22. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So here it is, the thing, trust, that's faith. And and faith must have an object. So faith in whom, you see? For most of us, for too often, our tendency is to trust in ourselves. But if you're going to stand before God, you don't want to trust in yourself. The object of the Christian faith is Jesus, who he is, and what he has done for us. So it's faith in Jesus. So you say, great, but faith for what? And here, let me just give you one verse, Romans 4:25. I'll put it on the screen for you because it gives such a great summary. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. And you'll notice there are two fours there, one for our sins, the other for our justification. And those words for are used in two different kinds of ways, I might say. So he was delivered over to death for our sins. That means like because of our sins, if I express it that way. And at the same time, he was raised to life for our justification. That for means to obtain our justification. And the distinction is important. Actually, we use the word for in very much the same way. We say, well, we have two different uses. We say, well, what's he in prison for? Well, for bank robbery. That is, because of bank robbery, okay? And then you say, well, what do you rob a bank for? Well, for money, stupid, right? That to obtain money. Do you see that distinction there? So one is because of, the other is to obtain. So here, because of our sins, that's Jesus was delivered over to death. Jesus took our death sentence because of our sins. Do you see that? And then in order to achieve our right standing, in order to give us justification before God, he was raised to life. That's where your faith is. And God provides this gorgeous vehicle of faith so that we can receive God's gift of justification, of right standing with him, because we placed our confidence. Now, here's the deal. This grant of righteousness. How do you qualify? I mean, if God's going to give this right standing as a grant, how do you qualify? And this is the one that's so hard for people. Letter D, if you want to fill it out there. Justification is available only to bad people. Justification is available only to bad people. And again, he concludes his thought. There's no difference when Paul says that. He means there's no difference whether you have a very religious background or a totally irreligious background. Everybody's got this problem. There's no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. See that in verse 22 and 23 there. There's no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So this is tough because, of course, we like to think that we are better than we are. And we work very hard to impress other people with how good we are. It rarely fools them, by the way. But we work very hard about that. But Paul says there's no difference in people, no matter what their background is. We are all off target. That's what the word sin is. We all fall short. We don't even get to the target. That's the challenge. And until you get it, that you're off target and that you fall short, then listen, you're not ready to receive God's gift of justification. When I was in high school, I was a high jumper. And I thought I was a good high jumper. I got the varsity letter all those years. I won the meets every time in the high jump. So I was quite confident I was a good high jumper. And then I met Reynaldo Brown. Reynaldo Brown was also in high school, but he was 7 feet tall. And Reynaldo Brown would warm up at the height that I would use to win all the other meets. And he did it with his sweats still on. I hated Reynaldo Brown. Reynaldo Brown was a good high jumper. That year, Reynaldo Brown went to the Olympics. I know this will shock you, but the United States Olympic Committee never contacted me. What I had to say once I put myself next to Ronaldo Brown was, I'm not a good high jumper. I had the wrong standard. I'm not a good high jumper. I got to quit kidding myself. And the truth is, I literally fall short, okay? Now, that's one thing with high jumping. It's another thing. You stand up against Jesus Christ, and I'm going to tell you, you're going to say, yeah, I'm not good. And you're going to say, oh, man, I really don't make it to the target. When you get to that point, now you're ready to receive God's offer to bad people, because the promise of God is for bad people. Let me put Romans 4:5 up there on the screen for you, because I just want you to see it. However, to the man who does not work, that is the person who doesn't trust in their own efforts, but trusts God, who justifies the wicked, that's the word, his faith is credited as righteousness. When you quit trusting in your own works, when you admit to God that you need him, that you're off target, that you fall short, you need him to rescue you from your own wickedness, you see, then your faith in what God has done for you through Jesus Christ is credited to you as righteousness. You are justified. You say, oh man, that's good. Wow, okay. But still, I mean, what do you have to do to earn consideration for that grant? Ah, that's letter E. Justification is accomplished utterly without cause, only by grace. Justification is accomplished utterly without cause, no cause in us, utterly by grace, all grace from him. And that's why that little phrase is so important there in verse 24, and are justified freely by his grace. The word freely, dorion, is the Greek word, and it just means without reason. Jesus says in John 15:25, he says, my enemies have hated me without reason. And here it says that God makes us right with him without any reason that's rooted in us. It's not because God looks at you and me, sorts through and says, ah, there's one kind of got a few problems, a few blemishes, but you know, with a little work, we'll be pretty terrific. No, it's nothing in us, you see? It's utterly without any cause in us. It is only by his grace, freely by his grace. It's entirely rooted in God. And grace is the favor that God offers utterly apart from us. You cannot earn it. You will never deserve it. The only thing you can do is receive it. And the way you receive it is strictly by faith alone. Now, here's the thing. How can God see us as righteous when we know we ain't? See, that's the trick. And for that, I want you to see now letter F, if you want to fill it in, that last one. Justification is administered through Jesus' work for us. Justification is administered through Jesus' work for us, okay? So he says we're justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. And so important to get that. So, and we'll look at redemption in detail at another time. But just please note, it's the work of Jesus that justifies us. So when you place your faith in Jesus Christ, who he is, what he has done, God now sees you in Christ. And it changes everything. It's not that God doesn't know about you. It's that he now sees you in an entirely different sphere. He sees you in Christ. So look, here's the passage for today. But for right now, let this represent you, okay? Here's the Bible, but for right now, let it represent Christ. When you put your faith in Christ, God sees you in Christ. You understand? So that God looks at you, he sees you through the lens of Jesus Christ. So I know you're messed up. You know, well, I just take it by faith you're messed up, okay? And none of you have disappointed me yet, okay? So I know you're messed up. You know I'm messed up. We're messed up, okay? But you put your faith in Jesus Christ, God sees you in Christ. So therefore, the penalty that should have fallen upon you has been absorbed by Christ through his work. And thus, the radiant righteousness of Christ is presented to the Father. The Father sees you. And as he sees you in Christ. The penalty removed, and not just, I mean, removed. So that, well, The devil can accuse you, and he will. It's his job description. And others will accuse you, and they will, because it's sort of a societal game. And worse, you will accuse you. But God will say, I have no record of any sin against you because I see you in Christ. Do you get how glorious that is? How can you not love him when you realize what he has done for you in Jesus Christ? And the beauty of it is that it continues. And that's, if I may, I just take you to that last passage down at the bottom here, Romans 5, verse 1 and 2. Just let me just show you that one, because I want you to see what happens through justification. Notice what it says, Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, that is, we've been made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ, okay? Notice the first outcome. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. All opposition is removed. You don't have to think, oh, God's got it in for me. Uh-uh. You don't have to think that there's any barrier, okay? But it goes beyond that. Notice the verse 2, through whom we have gained access by faith. It's one thing to have opposition removed. It's another thing to have a full introduction granted. You see, your sin would keep you from God, but Jesus has done the work. God sees you in Christ. And so the opposition is removed, but Jesus now says, presents you to the Father. There's a full introduction. And then notice, into this grace in which we now stand. Total acceptance is guaranteed. So that the Father does not say with you, I've accepted a bunch, I'm tired of accepting them. No, he sees you in Christ. And so as a result, you can stand in that faith. You don't have to run. You can stay because you are well received, opposition has been removed, and the privilege now is yours to stand before the Father. And to me, what's so wonderful is you can just quit all the stupid stuff of the Christian life. You can quit accusing yourself. Please hear me on this. There's so many people who never get the privilege of living the life that God has granted to them because they're always looking back. I'm going to tell you, you cannot drive looking at the rearview mirror. Don't try it. Just believe me, okay? Because you'll make a mess of things. But Christians do it all the time. They're constantly looking in the rearview mirror, and they can't figure out why they're always just crashing into things. You need to quit accusing yourself, because if God says through Jesus Christ, I see you as righteous in him, listen, you gotta do that. You can quit faking your faith. There's so many Christians who are trying to figure out, how do I dazzle other Christians? And you don't need to do that. That's not who you live your life before. But you get stuck. It's like, oh, I'm with you. Oh, we're eating. You're a Christian. I think you're one of those that pray. I've already eaten something. I got to come up with a way to pray that doesn't say I forgot. When you come up with that, do you think God is in heaven saying, hey, smooth move on the prayer? No. Because you were doing it to impress them. And your prayer was to impress them too. And God didn't even bother to listen because you weren't really talking to him. You were trying to impress a bunch of other Christians. You can quit that stuff. You can quit trying to be a good Christian, whatever that is. Do you know how many believers come up with some little checklist, and that's what makes a good Christian? And they're so busy that they didn't check a box. They never have any joy in God. Because they're tortured that they haven't been a good enough Christian. Listen, you understand what God has done for you in Jesus Christ, and you become a grateful Christian. It'll change how you live every single day. And you won't worry about any box. You start the day and you say, God, you see me in Christ. I know you know everything about me, and you love me anyway. And you love me so much that you sent Christ. So that you don't even see what you know. You see me with the righteousness of Christ. You accept me fully. You invite me into your presence. Let me tell you, you start your day like that's a different day. And then you say, now, Lord, Here's the day I have before me. Help me to see these people the way you've seen me. Help me to show love to them the way you've shown love to me. And you're going to have to say, God, please help me not to show my kind of love where I love them, but they better hurry up and respond. Because you love me even when I wouldn't respond. See, you have a heart for God like that. You serve others like that. You fulfilled the great commands of Scripture. You accidentally became a good Christian without checking any boxes. You just live it out of gratitude. This is the privilege of justification. It's a gift. Someday I'll get all excited about it, but till now, you just have to live with this. So just take a second and pray, shall we? Just a few seconds. If you've never received God's gift of righteousness in Jesus Christ, this is your moment. I don't care how long you've gone to church. I don't care how long your family's gone to some church. That's not the point. This is just you, just God. If you've never stopped and received what Jesus has done for you, utterly apart from any goodness in you, if you've never said, I receive the gift of Jesus' death and resurrection on my behalf, if you're ready to say that, God's ready to receive you completely. Don't worry about perfect words. God knows exactly what faith looks like. And if you're ready to receive that gift by faith, you tell him. Most holy God, how grateful we are that you who dwell in light unapproachable would somehow make it possible for us to be in your presence. This cannot in any way have come from us. It must only have come from you. And so we ask that you will teach us to live each day in the light of your great goodness. Please help us, Lord, to cherish the goodness and grace that you have shown to us through Jesus Christ. And please help us not just to receive it, to reflect it to others so that they might sense and feel what it is to walk in your goodness. We thank you. And we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Copyright Matt Hannon. Contact us at info@newheights.org.